This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, we're getting in the weeds in that break. Thanks to a fantastic question on the text line. Again, 713-572-4610, and I won't tell you the question because I'm going to be completely honest. It will take over this segment, so we might circle back around to it because it's a really interesting thought experiment. That I actually
Jordan just, or LeBron.
Let me tell you, it's definitely not that. I retired from that.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
That one I have not retired from. You know, sometimes you just got to keep things in your back pocket in case you need them. But no, I've retired from the LeBron Jordan. Have you retired from that debate?
Oh, I think it comes up. It's kind of hard to. People won't let you.
Nah, it is what it is with that.
Oh, God.
I feel like people, even when they bring it up, if you do go, actually, I don't care. They're like, okay, fine. It's fine. We don't have to actually fight. Mm-hmm. Like, they get ready for it, but they're like, actually, you know what? I don't want to have that conversation. A conversation that I do want to have, however, is about Ime Udoka, a very good head coach. And you saw during the course of the series him do some very good things with it. I think that there was obviously some places where I think the fan base looked up and they had some questions for how Ime Udoka handled it. Mm-hmm. One of the first ones that I'll bring up for me personally is, hey, man, I know it's not him in particular. I think it's the staff. But the way that they challenge, the way that they use their challenges just in this series, because I don't think that he was like a bad challenge user over the entirety of the regular season. But this series, the challenges were weird. But where does Ime Udoka have to improve as a coach? Because, I mean, there's going to be lots of conversation about how they have to improve as a team, but I think this is the easiest one to talk about because let's start with the basics. Ime ain't going nowhere.
No, like, God no, this nor
is,
should he.
This season is a feather in the cap of Ime Udoka of how he took what was kind of a listless group of talented but you know, not really cohesive young players and wove them together into one of the better teams in the league that played incredible defense, had a hard-nosed style of basketball, and found what they needed to when they did. And individually, you can see the growth that's happened developmentally for a few of the players on the team. But, I mean, I think that we, just like is always the case, you need to look for the opportunities to grow and develop. And I think Ime, there's probably some things that he could do better just coming off of the series, but to continue his growth for this team as they try and push towards being a championship level team.
Yeah, I think he, you know, obviously the number one thing is offense. Offensively, I mean, when you say describe the Rockets' offense, you can come up with two or three different answers. You know, you know, Şengün to me has established himself as.
So are we about to play word association? Is that what we're about to do here?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Describe. All right. Word association, Rockets' offense. Yeah. The word that immediately comes to mind for me is simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The thing that I immediately think of is. Oftentimes, there is a first action, but there's not a secondary action. There's not a lot of off-ball movement, except for like maybe a 45-degree cut or a back cut, which happens, which oftentimes is Amen Thompson or what have you, which I think is good. But oftentimes, it allows team defenses to kind of sit and watch, and if they handle that first action, they can kind of corral what's happening in front of them, especially when you also consider there's not a lot of shooting to also threaten. So it ends up being kind of simplistic. I know some of that is because of the personnel that they have, but I think some of it is it could afford to be more don't know, impactful?
I think for me, it's non-committal.
Okay.
Like they have a hard time committing to how they're going to run a half-court offense. Now, obviously, it was taken out of his hands somewhat in this series because Jalen Green, and that's what bothered me a lot, you know, with Jalen Green in particular. It, you know, and it's unfair to compare him to Steph Curry for so many reasons. But in terms of like the headspace that Curry was in, oh, you're going to take away my three? Well, I'm gonna ball fake. I'm going to go to the right and I'm going to drive. And I'm going to force something to happen. I'm going to make the offense happen. Jalen Green wasn't doing that. That might be and probably is more of a Jalen Green thing than an Ime Udoka thing. But when they were committing to Şengün, and they did the whole series, and I know Sean Pendergast has gone on and on about he hasn't been that good. He was what you had, and he was good for stretches. He wasn't good last night. You know, and even though the numbers looked okay, 21-14, I don't feel like he was good last night. And I think part of that is kind of they're not committed to really starting everything with him. And they're not committed with really finding a place for Amen Thompson, you know, what he can do in the flow of an offense. His is all flow of the half, that particular half court set is where he gets his things, gets a loose ball, goes to the basket, whatever. Like, what is their offense?
It's very rudimentary in my mind. And that's, I think, some of that is necessity because of the lack of, you know, the lack of shooting, and you don't have like great playmaking. So I think that some of that is the limiting factors. But I think that there's still things within that I would like to see elevated. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's fair to ask. One of the things that came that is being talked about, and I think you talked about it. We talked about texting the group chat that we have about this, which is kind of his the way that he handled his rotation and his roster in this playoff. Like, what is your gripe here with the way he handled it?
Well,
going really tight with the rotation, going eight man, and really that within that eight man rotation, really being gentle with the ways that he used a couple of those guys off the bench.
Well, and very strict in the minutes. Jabari Smith and Tari Eason, I felt were very, very much engaged and very much aggressive. And they got a combined 30 minutes, those two guys. You had to be able to, maybe another part of it, problem is the adjustments. Like, because when you talk about the adjustments that were made in five and six, it was really just dependent on, I hope you guys make a lot of shots. I hope Fred VanVleet can really knock it down tonight. And he did. You know, pull-up jumpers in transition. Transition is a form of offense that you can emphasize, but it's hard to say that's our offense. Is VanVleet knocking down 8 3-pointers in transition and pulling up. That's just counting on him being good.
At the risk of quibbling about details, I wouldn't say.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It was transition, like it was half court coming off of screens.
A lot of them, it was in transition. He'd pull up,
but I think also the pull up is there because the Warriors were sinking into the paint. They were sinking off of him, and in those instances, rather than you already are in a place where Jalen Green is not able to handle, you know, getting downhill into those condensed paints or really handle the blitz that they were throwing at him as well, passing out of those well in order to create looks on the backside of it. So Fred VanVleet needed to be on ball, and when he's on ball, coming off a screen. He doesn't have the size to go and play in the tall trees.
A lot of them were really in the secondary break, man. I mean, it was just like he's coming off the half-court line, pulls up, and knocks down a three. That's not an offense. That's hoping he makes shots, and he didn't make them last night. Can't blame him. I mean, that's going to happen. And that's not an offense. That's I hope he makes a lot of shots. That's where he needs to improve. He needs to improve in the rotation, trusting, and be a little more committed to winning that particular game. This was a game seven. This was an elimination game and must win, game, as we've often kidded about. And you just stuck with Jalen Green out there when really he shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah, this is something I've go back and forth with, mm-hmm. because whenever it's like, all right, this is the move that you need to make, I try and play through, game it out, right? Mm-hmm. So Jalen Green, you play him fewer minutes. I'm guessing those minutes go to who in your estimation? Is it Jabari or Tari are probably your only options, at least when it comes to the rotation that they've used?
Probably maybe, Jabari at this
okay,
point.
Okay, so Jabari yeah. Smith Jr. The things that I've noticed with Jabari in this is that Jabari, obviously, when he gets his in the flow of the offense, mm-hmm. he's playing more confidently. In fact, Jabari talked about that last night in his post-game availability, and I do like that about his general development mm-hmm. over the entirety of this season. Did you get the same sense I did defensively with Jabari? Jabari typically is, mm-hmm. I mean, he's 6'10", and he does a good job of staying with guys, but it feels like when he was in perimeter, he got blown by a lot.
He did, but he also, you know, he helped a lot on the backside.
He did.
Yeah, you know, and that was a plus.
When they were in zone circumstances.
In zone circumstances. But Jalen Green was not going to happen, and they were force-feeding it. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't, it was one of those moments where you said, okay, we'll try to rehabilitate him for the next series or in the offseason, but it ain't going to happen now. And that's on Ime.
Yeah,
that's why you get paid the big bucks.
I think they utilized some Tari to try and do some of those things. Mm-hmm. Tari had some turnovers as well mm-hmm. himself, and I feel like he wasn't able to replicate those things. And I don't know that Jabari replicates mm-hmm. those things guard-wise for you. So if you're looking for another guard or another guy kind of in that perspective to give you that, I don't think that you really had it. And I think that was one of the issues that arose. But
he got away from the double bigs pretty quickly, too.
He did, and
that was a little bizarre.
There was also instances where he was using double bigs, but they went man with the double big, which mm-hmm. felt like that was not a good look. Now, I don't think he did it for a long time, and that feels like, hey, searching. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's try this for a period of time and see if this will work. Okay, it didn't. Let's try something else. But it did feel like he went away from one of the things that felt like it had worked for the last few games in the series, and I don't know how much that was recognizing that your offense was not in the same place, so you might need to find some different stuff,
mm-hmm.
or if that was just kind of trying to respond to the game, especially because when you were in the zone, that's where they were able to kill you on the backside with Buddy Hield knocking down shots.
Yeah, and to be fair, you mentioned Buddy Hield. I mean, the Warriors just got an incredible game. They got a Van Vliet game out of Hield, and that was the reason they won. But where does Ime Udoka need to improve? He needs to improve in the half-court offense, as we've been talking about.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where I do wonder, and I guess I'll ask the question of you, do you feel like that's, and this is a question that's going to be asked in various different perspectives mm-hmm. with the Rockets, do you think that's an internal development, or is that something where they might need to add a consultant or maybe even additional coaching to the staff?
Well, actually, where I was going to go with it, that's where you need to make the decision of figuring out, and we'll dig into this, tomorrow for sure, if not today. You know, where is your offensive firepower? You know, if you're a little bit...
Take stock of the armory, of sorts.
Yeah. If you're a little skeptical of running it through Şengün, I get it. I thought he was your best option. But if you want someone else on the outside, it's not going to be Jalen Green. You know, and the whole conversation, is he done? Do you write him off? You don't write him off, but I think you... This is what I'll say about Jalen Green. He wasn't the only cat out there that was playing in his first playoff series.
No.
Jabari was in his first playoff series. Şengün was in his first playoff series. None of these guys wilted like Jalen Green. Amen Thompson was in his playoff series. None of the other cats were wilting, and Jalen Green did. You got the answer on Jalen Green. I'm not saying forever as he's not going to be a productive NBA player, but he is not going to be your guy.
Yeah, I think it's about time we stop forcing that.
Yes,
that he's the guy.
And that's on Ime too.
Yeah, I think at this point you got to work around it mm-hmm. and try to find the best role for him and not forcing him to be the guy that's going to carry your team.
Right.
So I think that ultimately the big thing for going forward is just where do you find offense? I think, and not just like when you talk about the players level, like from Ime, like coaching wise, where do you find offensive identity? How do you, you know, draw it up and get easy buckets for a team? Because that's also, it's even more necessary. We talked about this going into the series. Mm-hmm. It becomes even more necessary when you know you don't have guys that can generate it on their own.
Yeah.
To be able to generate it, at least from time in instances with your clipboard. And it feels like you didn't get enough of that. So that's the thing that I'm hoping to see as we move forward with this. But there's more kind of things to kind of discuss within this that I want to get with you.
Yeah, we will. But you mentioned the clipboard. I mean, that you need an offensive coordinator, man. You need an offensive coordinator. There is such a thing in basketball.
Yeah.
And he needs to rely on that.
Just like there are defense coordinators. That's yeah. I always look remember fondly Kelvin Sampson's time as mm-hmm. the defensive guy for the Rockets,
yeah.
right? Before yeah. he took the job mm-hmm. at UH. And so, yeah, the equivalent on that side, that's I kept looking at this staff, and I don't want to knock the staff because I think the staff has done a great job. I just have wondered where is that on the staff, and it mm-hmm. feels like there's still at least room to grow in that regard. All right,
yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Plenty of Rockets things to dig into over the next few days for sure. As they fall in game 7 of the first round of the playoffs. But coming up next, it's about the time when we do our lunchtime confessions, and we will do those next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.